it's a pretty big divide. Now, 8 years ago, there was a lockout, and that lockout, the owners wanted a hard cap salary system. So that means that any team can only spend up to a hard cap. And that number at the time, I think it was pretty low, like 30 or 40 million. That number has since risen because of, you know, the growth in the sport has risen to nearly $60 million. So for a lot of teams, it's just getting too high, and so they want to reduce that again. They want to reduce that number, and they want to have a rollback on players' contracts. So the last time there was a rollback of 24% across the board of everyone's current contracts, and they'd like to have something like that again. But they also, the big issue is what they're calling the HRR, a hockey-related revenue. The players currently get 57% of everything that's deemed hockey-related revenue, and they want to reduce that back down. Well, their initial proposal, I believe, was around 47 or 46%. So that's a huge, huge change. Basically, each percentage point is about $30 million for the players less they'll get. So if you're talking about 10 percentage points, that's $300 million less dollars that'll go from the players' salaries into the owners' pockets.
You were on the other side of the fence last time round. Does it feel different to you as you sit in a radio studio as a broadcaster rather than, you know, talking around with your other friends and your colleagues that would have been going out to play in that first weekend in October?
Well, it's a pretty big issue. You know, last time I just remember thinking, okay, well, what do we do now? You know, the lockout started September 16th and everyone expected to be a long lockout. And you're like, okay, well, you know, now what? You know, you've been playing hockey for so long, the sport you love, and you're used to, you know, going to the rink in the morning, preparing, working out, practicing, getting rest, going to your games, and now that routine is over. So a lot of guys were lost for quite a while. You know, I got into some other activities. I got into fixing up old houses and skiing, did a lot of skiing, cross-country skiing, downhill skiing. And then eventually I did actually seek out playing hockey in Europe. I went over and played in Hungary. Budapest, Hungary. Now, the hockey's not great there, but it's a really fun place to live. So I went with another guy, and we had a really good time. But I've talked to some players now, and they're feeling the same way. They're like, okay, now what do I do? Like, how do I work out? Because, you know, you train all summer to be prepared for training camp starting around September 20th. Now, that day, that doesn't start. So how do you keep that edge? Or can you? Because it's very emotionally, and it's hard physically to keep up that great, great shape you're used to being in. So you kind of let it go a bit, then you peak up again. And so there's a lot of science behind it and a lot of emotional battles that go on. But, you know, I tell all the guys, just don't think about it. If you have an opportunity to go play in Europe, go play. That's the best thing you can do.
So you don't think it will be detrimental at any level? You see a guy like Tyler Seguin going off and playing in the Swiss A-League. There are guys coming over to play in Britain, guys that are going to play elsewhere. You don't think at any stage that will hurt them?
Well, the only way it can hurt them is if they get injured, right? That's the worst-case scenario. And the big issue for a lot of these players has been getting insurance. You know, some of these guys have contracts for 6 or 7 years, and they can be, you know, $6 or $7 million a year. So you're trying to insure a contract that's $50 million, or in Sidney Crosby's case, the best player in the whole league, his contract's $100 million he has for the next north of 12 years. So I'd heard reports that just to insure part of his contract, it'll be over $400,000 US a month. That's a month, not a year, a month. So, I mean, that's a big issue trying to get insurance for that, and who's going to pay for it? Now, when it comes to guys going over there, I think it's great. When you're a hockey player, you have to keep your skills up. Sitting out for a whole season, if that or whatever the length, 3, 4 months, whatever it is, isn't good for your skills, and your skills will erode. So if I was an agent or if I had a son who was going through this, I'd encourage him to go play anywhere just to keep his skills up.
Just finally, do you see this as being a long lockout? There are going to be more talks on Friday between the NHLPA, the owners, and the NHL. Do you see that being a day where maybe they can start to find a resolution?
Well, the problem right now is they can't even find a place to start. You know, they disagree on everything. You know, oftentimes a negotiation really gets rolling when you can say, okay, we agree on this, and you start from there. But right now there's just no starting point. Yes, they are going to get back and meet. I just hope they can get even just a little bit of an agreement on something. But like I said, when the owners made that first offer to the NHLPA, and it was such a nasty offer and so many things were rolled back, taken back, slash, cut, whatever you want to describe it, it really got the players unified and really got them pretty much unified to decide they're not going to accept anything less than what they feel is a fair deal. So the negotiations really took a nasty turn at the moment that those NHL owners made that offer. So I expect it to be longer than people think. I think we'll be lucky to have a half a season this year. I hope I'm wrong, because, I mean, I love to talk about hockey as much as the next guy. But I think we're looking at a pretty long one, Seth.
That's lovely. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay, buddy, anytime. This is good.
Yeah, and vice versa. Anytime you need me, just give us a bell.
Okay, that'd be great, buddy.
Speak to you soon. Morning. Safe night.
Bye. Good night.